Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. There in your houses, once again, we just thank you for tuning in with us via Facebook Live. If you guys stood up with us, you can be seated. If not, you guys were in sin. You guys need to repent right now. But don't worry, there'll be an altar call. And then we're going to receive of the Lord. But here this night, as Brother Jason was sharing, a lot of good things taking place. And once again, not just here within locally, Victory Outreach Milwaukee, but also Victory Outreach internationally. And we pray that you grab a hold of everything that we have going on as far as our life groups. I know that I have a life group as well, and I co-host it with Sister Sophia within the church, and ours is called Family Matters. So every life group is kind of designed different places, different timings, and almost every leader has a life group and is there to grab a hold, to pull people in, to train, to equip, to build up leaders. Because how many know in these end times we're living in, and I believe we are living in those end times. How many can believe that we're living in those end times? Go ahead and type amen. I mean, this pandemic has gone way too far, and I think the Lord is still waiting for his church. Not necessarily the world, but the Lord is waiting for his church really to rise up. So I'm going to be sharing that within the message, and a lot of good things going on. Also, the gang convention, the gang standing for God's anointed now generation. And here this night, how many young anointed men and women of God are out there that you know God has called you? Amen. That you're tired of just the ordinary. I was a young man. I was 22 years old when God called me, and I knew nothing about ministry. I didn't want the Lord. I didn't know who Jesus was. I was raised Catholic, but little did I know that God had a calling upon my life. So here this night, if that's you and you're watching, I just want to let you know, or just reaffirm and confirm those that have been staying committed, just to continue and just to see what the Lord has within your life. Praise the Lord. I titled this message, What the Lord Wants. The title of this message is What the Lord Wants. And I'm going to share something here this night through these verses and this message. I know that our pastor is staying in the theme of a time to recognize Jesus. And I believe I could still tie that in, because we're going to recognize Jesus by doing what he wants. How many want to please the Lord? Amen. Amen. Say amen. How many want your families to please the Lord? Amen. How many desire your loved ones to be saved? How many want your job site, when you walk into your job site, do they know you serve the Lord? Do they know you're a man, a woman, a youth of God? And so that happens as we do what the Lord wants. So what the Lord wants is the title for this message. Before I get there, I just want to real quickly thank, I always thank the Lord for my salvation. I've been saved for about 10 years here in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. For 8 years, it's been about eight, it's going on a little while. For me, it seems like it just flew by. 8 years just flew by. Even though we've been here a good amount of time, I think of it a short time because of all that the Lord has done in those short years, or however we want to call it. The Lord has done a great work in my life. I wasn't Pastor Felipe. I wasn't the associate pastor. I never wanted to be pastor, associate minister, none of that. I wanted to do one thing, and that was serve the Lord. And so I just came in to the back, and I wanted to serve Jesus with all my heart. And to this day, that's what I desire, just to serve the Lord with all my heart. And I've been here, my wife and I, laboring. We've got an opportunity to run and direct our men's victory homes. And we've seen a lot of lives been changed and transformed. So if you're there and you're tuning in and you know anybody, you know someone that needs help, that needs guidance, that's struggling with addiction, we want to let you know that God is able, that the Lord is able. How many believe that the Lord is able here this night? And we have a lot of fruit. We've seen people changed and transformed by the power, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we've ran the homes for about 6-7 years. Amen. I think I lost count. And in this season, you know, God opened up an opportunity. I have a beautiful daughter. Amen. Sometimes she likes to say hi, sometimes she doesn't. We have another little child on the way. Amen. And been licensed, but all that due to the fact that I'm able just right now just to thank my pastor. And it's just really remaining under our pastor. Amen. Just an area of remaining teachable. So I just want to say thank you, Pastor and Sister Marlene, and the Reign of Family, just for this privilege. Amen. Entrusting us and working with the people like you and I. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open up your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to give you some time to grab your Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 18. How many are ready to receive from the Lord here this night? I have a good word, something simple, and I'm going to share it, apply it to our lives, and let's learn from the Bible. I pray that you, as Brother Jason shared, you have your Bibles and notepads. Take notes. Once again, today is July 3rd, 2020. Amen. Pastor Felipe, greatest preacher ever. Amen. Come on, somebody. No, I'm far from it. I had to joke around like that just to see if you're paying attention. What the Lord wants, Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Let's go ahead and read. It says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop. In other words, go to Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. How many are going to be here Sunday? Amen. Man, I'm going to tie that in. And I will speak to you there. See, so the question is, do you want God to speak to you here this night? Because I'm going to speak about where you are truly matters. We once again, we thank you for tuning in, but that's easy. We want you to be here. So be here Sunday. Everyone that's tuning in, we want to see you here Sunday. We want to fellowship with the body of Christ. We want to see all that the quarantine did within your life. Praise God. So I did as he told me. Notice that he was just obedient. Amen. He just followed the Lord. He didn't question. He didn't say, well, why come, Pastor? How come I got to be there that early? I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. He found someone at work. He found someone doing God's work. Are we doing God's work here this night? But the jar he was making did not turn out as he hoped. And hold on to that thought. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Verse 5, then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to this clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. I try to grab my daughter by the hand, and she says, no, no, I got it. And she thinks she's all grown up. Some of us think we're all grown up in the Lord. Praise God. Verse 11. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Victory Outreach, the Church of Christ, everyone. Go tell them. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. Let's pray. Father, right now we come before you. I love you and thank you. Always give you all glory and all honor. I thank you for your word. This is your word. I pray for those tuning in, that you continue to open their hearts, open minds. Give us a teachable spirit. I pray for those of us that are here, Lord God, speak to us. I pray for myself. Continue to speak, Lord God, for us to respond to your message. And Lord, for true deliverance, salvation. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, your anointing, Lord, that you are able to use me as the vessel. As you move me to the side, communicate your word. For let your will be done. Allow your plans to unfold in and through our lives. I thank you. Lord God, we give you all glory and honor in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Amen and amen. Let me read that one more time, and then we're going to go into the message. Amen. So share this message. Really, it's about staying three words, and I'm going to tie all this in. It's about staying shapeable, moldable, and teachable. And as we serve, as you find yourself here tuning in, and I pray once again that you find it able to come on Sunday. Sunday morning, be here early, as Brother Jason was sharing. We're following, we're being compliant, and simply being able to accommodate all those needs. We want just to keep the enemy out. Can somebody say amen? And so as we follow those rules, we want to keep the enemy out to keep the presence of God. But as we keep the presence of God, we can't have the presence of God be here and there's no people. So that's why you need to be here. Yes, it's a good to experience to log in. Once again, we commend you and congratulate you, but we have to take it a step further. We have to go the extra mile. Amen. Brother Jason was sharing when we were in the world, and I know we're speaking to a Victory Outreach crowd. There was nothing that was stopping us from doing what we were doing. There was nothing us holding back. So I believe all we have to do is carry that mentality not really lose it, but shift it and allow yourself to know that nothing has to stop me from getting to God's house. And that's where we find ourselves. That here within this portion of scripture, a long time ago, someone in the home, they said, someone asked him, "What's, do you have a word for me?" And someone in the home, it's interesting, he said it real quickly, almost like as he memorized it, and it was just routine. It was just routine. We heard yesterday at a Holy Ghost Thursday that someone was sharing, they said, if it's not sacrifice, it's just religion. And I don't want to have religion. They said, if it's not sacrifice, it's not religion. So this is not religion. That's why sacrifice is good. If it doesn't hurt, it's not a sacrifice. We have to go out and bring somebody into the church house. You have to sacrifice for this not to become a religion, but to become that relationship with the Lord. That brother shared, they asked him, "Do you have a word for me?" And off the top of his mind, he said, "Stick, stay, pray, and obey." And I never forget that, because I looked at him and I thought, it's so interesting how he said that, how it would, should work, but yet he never applied it to his life. I don't know where he's at right now, but all I'm trying to say is this does work if you apply it to your life. I can say that prayer does work if you apply it to your life. I can say that fasting does work if you apply it to your life. I can say that all these things work if we apply it to our lives. But once again, we find ourselves having all the answers. In other words, having all the keys, everything we need to unlock the kingdom of heaven here on earth. But yet the question is, are we applying it once again within our lives here on earth? Because I believe that time is short. It's limited. We see the times that we're living in. The times are getting darker. The times are getting worse. The times are getting more wicked, more evil. And yet, what is the church doing here this night? My question is, you and I, as the body of believers, because I believe I'm speaking to a body of believers, and I would like for us to catch the vision. I would like for us to get well informed of what the Lord did over 50 years ago, there in 1967. That through one man, that God reached one man, and as he remained obedient to that vision. As Paul said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." As one man remained obedient, it's because of one man that you and I are here, able to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's because of that area that my family has a reason, has an availability to be able to be changed. We should be grateful that now we could be used as vessels of honor, the Bible says. No longer vessels of dishonor. We should be grateful that now we are able to make a difference. That now we're not able, or we're not looked down upon, frowned upon, not no more the downcast. But now God decided to do a great work within our lives. How many are grateful that the Lord did a great work in and through our lives? And so what we see here within this story, Jeremiah, it wasn't easy for Jeremiah to have his ministry. It wasn't easy. Just want to give a quick background. I don't want to share too much on it, but Jeremiah had a ministry for about 40 years. I've only been in this ministry for 8 years. Amen. So I could imagine 32 more years. How long have we been in ministry? That's one of my favorite things I share with the men, with all of us, really. We shouldn't brag really more about what we did in the world. We should brag more about what we're doing in Christ. That should be more our testimony. Our testimony in Christ should outweigh our testimony in the world. We come in and we've done all this and been all that, but now what are we doing for Christ? Now what are we doing for the Lord? I'm grateful now I've been saved longer than I was in the world. I've been saved longer than I was lost and bound with no purpose. I've been saved longer now. And so I ask myself, what more can I do? How much more do I have to go? How much more can I give? There's more to labor. There's more to sacrifice. There's still more commitment involved, because there's so much more that can be done. Because there's others that have gone before us. There's so many others that have labored and spent years doing what they're doing. That the only reason we're online is because our vision, our ministry believes in being able to reach out through any avenue, any vehicle, being having a vision, being vision-minded here this night to reach out to lost and bound. I'm grateful that someone just invited me to a church called Victory Outreach, that it was there where I was able to experience the presence of God. And it was simply because others stood and others labored for years. It matters. He had a ministry of years, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, hey, come by, we'll see you. They weren't going through a quarantine. Jeremiah went through some hard times. He was thrown in prison. Jeremiah was ostracized, cast out by his own family. Jeremiah was threatened his life to death. Jeremiah went through many hardships. Jeremiah continued to be exiled out by everyone. No one wanted to hear this man. Even the Jewish people said, we don't want to hear from you anymore. Get away from us. They constantly threatened them. They whipped them over and over. They beat them down. They went through so many hardships. 40 years of ministry. And you could say that if you look up at the commentaries, most people would say that his ministry was not successful. Because we know what happened to the nation of Israel. God called Jeremiah at a young age. And he told Jeremiah to preach to a nation that was going downhill, you can say. And that was the nation of Israel. That was, you can call it, the church. The people that should have known God in the first place. They weren't listening. So God had to raise a Victory Outreach. Because people weren't listening, so God had to get a hold of a people like you and I, and everyone's included. I was sharing in the morning with the men that I didn't find myself being able to relate in this ministry in the beginning, because I didn't have that much of a testimony. I just wanted my life to matter, but I knew that God had called me. And that's what I want you to know here this night, that no matter what you're going through, the Lord has called you, but it's not going to be easy. And we see this in the ministry of Jeremiah. 40 years of being casted out. 40 years of being alone. 40 years thrown into prison. 40 years of being neglected. 40 years his own family ignored him. 40 years his own family said, we don't want to hear from you anyway. Until it got to a point where Jeremiah himself said, that's it. I'm done. Enough. I'm not even going to preach your word any longer. Has anyone ever felt like that? Or you said, well, what's going on? Nothing's working out. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say anything. Everywhere I go, people laugh at me. Everything I do, people ridicule me. Everywhere I go, I get threatened. Everywhere I go, no one wants to listen, even though I'm being obedient. But you find that he writes those words. One of my favorite words in the Bible. It's all the Bible, really. But one of those words that he says, even if I stop, even if I don't say anything, so your words are like a fire in my bones. And he keeps going because he has that fire from the Lord. Do we have that fire from the Lord here this night? And that's what drove Jeremiah to continue in his ministry past the hardships. I mean, we don't go through those type of hardships. We get into some little areas and they didn't talk, you know, they ignore me, I'm leaving, and they told me to do this, I'm not going to that church. Those aren't hardships. Jeremiah was persecuted, he was thrown in jail, he was beaten down just for preaching the gospel. And we see that over and over and over and over. Where there's people in India getting their heads chopped off just because they say they're Christians and we can't come to church. Let me move on. Let's go to verse 1 and share with you a couple of things, and then we'll end it here this night. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1 says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. Now it's important that the first thing Jeremiah got from the Lord was an instruction. And I like this word. I like the word instructions. I even like the word commands. Because at times we need to be told what to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. We were told what to do in the world. I mentioned this last time. We were in the world and we got told some dumb instructions, right? Go to this liquor store at midnight. Wait there for 5 minutes. Your car is going to pass by. He's going to flash his lights. You don't even know this person. He's going to roll down the window. He'll wink at you. And that's how you know that's the person to connect to. And we went out and did everything. to be cursed. Someone's got into some trouble, some dumb trouble, for following some dumb instructions. And we get instructions from the Lord, instructions from our leadership. And we have a hard time following those instructions. We question all of a sudden. We look around like thinking if we knew best. This has been happening. This ministry has been alive well for all internationally here in Milwaukee for over 20 years. Listen, my friend, I think pretty much this has good ground. I think that we should be able to let you know what we're doing now, that we should be able to guide you in the right direction. Jeremiah received instructions. That's the first thing he heard from God, a command. I believe that's why too many times that we have a hard time hearing from God, because he wants to give us a command, but are we willing to follow that command? Are we willing even to wake up and pray in the morning? It's hard to wake up and pray in the morning. It is, but it's worth it. It's a command from the Lord. Whether we want to or not, there's a command. It's a command to give. However you want to break that down or not, study the Bible. I just believe that giving works. It's a command to fast. Because Jesus said, so you can quote it, however you want to do, I'm just going to fast. So that when I get to heaven, Jesus is able to say, enter my good and faithful servants. Jesus is able to say, I've seen all that you went through. You obeyed my commands. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop. He received the command. It was an instruction. He told him to go to the potter's house. Now, yes, that represents a place where someone was working. I'm going to get into that in a moment. But he said, he told them, he didn't ask. He didn't say, Jeremiah, is this convenient? Jeremiah, are you busy? I know that pastor, sometimes he'll call and he'll say, Felipe, what are you doing? But for the most part, I would want my pastor to know that he can always count on me. They can always call me. He doesn't have to worry about inconveniencing my life. We should always be available. I was reading a book, and it said the best thing you can offer your leadership or your pastor is not your ability, it's not your gifts, it's not your talents. The best thing you could offer them is your availability. It's, are you there? Are you dependable? Are you able to be there when you're needed? Jeremiah was able to be there, and he was told to go down to the potter's house. I want to connect this. That's why it's important to come to the church. See, when you come to church, you receive things that only happen in church. When you come to church, you receive the anointing that at times only happens here. It can flow through there. It really can. But God wants you to be here. I mean, we wanted to go to the party scene. We wanted to go to the club. And we wanted to be where it was at. Why aren't we able to come here and worship every Sunday? And be willing and be ready and saying, man, when am I going to get to the potter's house? But as we get to the potter's house, it comes with more instructions. Because sometimes God wants to speak to us in specific places, but we're out of position. God needed Jeremiah to go to a specific location to give him a specific message. See, we cannot give or we cannot receive. We will not receive those specific a specific word. We will not receive from the Lord what he wants from us if we're out of position. We could even be in the church and be out of position. We could even be here and our minds be somewhere else. You could be right there tuning in, watching me, and your mind, your heart thinking of something else. Just waiting for tune into a movie. Our minds are more tuned in at times to watch a movie than to watch a preaching. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. That's why at times I question the things that I do. Is this going to profit the flesh or is this going to profit the spirit? The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. That's why eating is bad. Amen. It profits the flesh. No, you got to stay alive. You got to intake some food. He gave him a command that he knew would be followed. Why? It was not impossible. The instructions that you're given, my friend, are not impossible. An instruction to come to church is not impossible. An instruction to go on a life group is not impossible. An instruction to invite somebody to pray, to wake up, it's not impossible. He gave Jeremiah a simple command that he knew could be followed. Why? It was not impossible. Many times we find ourselves and we ask ourselves, do we want to hear from God? But really then, are we asking, are we following what he gives us? Because the Lord will never tell us to do something that's impossible. By Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes, nothing shall be impossible. But we have to be willing to carry out these instructions. He told them, go down to the potter's house. So what was at the potter's house? Jeremiah didn't ask. He just obeyed. Right? Stick, stay, pray, and obey. No asking. I was going to say a joke, but I can't say that when I'm here before. Praise God, let me move on. He didn't ask. He just obeyed. I believe it's verse 3. Go down to verse 3. Verse 3 says, so I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. And this is what I'm going to share now. I'm going to shift over. I'm going to share really to what the Lord wants, to what the Lord is looking for. But the jar he was making, that jar is going to represent you and I. Because I believe, and how many believe with me, that the Lord saved us for a purpose. And that purpose was not really just to get off of drugs, just to say, well, I've been sober for, you know, another year, and I want a sticker and a pin and AA and recite a verse. That's not the reason we got saved. It's not, okay, I got a good job, I'm going to pay my bills. I got bored of that 22 years in life. I got bored of having a job and paying bills. So the Lord saved us with a purpose. In other words, he's looking for something into our lives. And as he saved us, he begins this process. For those that are studying the Bible and are called theologians, it's called sanctification. Where he begins to separate your life. He begins to impart within your life, and at the same time remove things that do not belong there any longer. That we should not get angry over the same little situation any longer. That as he's looking into our lives, we are that jar of clay. The Bible says we are from dirt, and from dirt we shall return. There's another quote that says, just because you're made of dirt doesn't mean you should treat others like dirt as well. We gotta be careful how we talk to each other. And the Lord is looking within our lives as we are that jar of clay. He's forming something within our lives. He has a purpose and a plan within our lives. And he has a desire to see that fulfilled within our lives. Is that scripture that he says? Let me see if I could find it. I'm going to read it real quick. Go down to the potter shop. I will speak to you there. As he told me, he found the potter working. Jar was making us, and he hoped till he crushed it. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. And the Lord gave me this message. Okay. Oh, there it is. Verse 6. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And here this night, I just want us to know that we're in God's hands. Now, that could be a good thing. It should be nothing but a good thing. I want to say it shouldn't be a bad thing. I shared that earlier, that I want to guide my... She's only 2 and a half, and she wants to walk down the stairs by herself. She wants to walk up the stairs by herself. She doesn't want me to help her. And I get mad sometimes, right? And I tell her, well, I'm your dad. I'm going to pick you up anyways while you're small. Otherwise, you're going to get big, and I'm not going to be able to pick you up. And sometimes God looks at us, and he says, I want to guide you. I want to lead you. You're going to fall if you do this by yourself. Matter of fact, you've been falling because you've done this by yourself. I'm trying to guide you, trying to lead you with my hand. The Bible says my right hand is not too short that it can reach out. But I believe many times the church is not allowing the Lord himself to be led. I believe individually, many, and this is abroad. I'm just here to speak it, what's in my mind, and just read these verses. That the potter was trying to make something of the jar. And we read, he said, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he hoped. In other words, what he was looking for was not there. I mean, it's interesting. God looks at you and I, and as he looks into our lives, is he finding what he's looking for? Within our lives, however long we've been saved, however long we've been serving, Whatever ministry we go to, we have to know that we are accountable to the Lord. Then, yes, we are accountable to God and not unto man, but it shouldn't be a cop-out, an excuse to desire to serve the Lord. Because here this night, I believe that God is looking into our lives, into my life, each and every day. And I truly believe with all my heart that God is looking for something. Something that He wants to do. Something special that He placed within us. Something that He wants to form. That He's looking down and He's saying, we don't have to be that same man we used to be. We don't have to struggle with that area any longer. We don't have to come across those same issues any longer. Because He's trying to shape us. He's trying to mold us. He's trying to create within us. The Bible says to be made in the image and glory of Jesus Christ. But too many times are we allowing ourselves to be led of the Lord. And hear this night, I just want to let you know, the more you allow yourself to be led, the more you allow yourself to be shaped and molded, then God becomes your restorer. God becomes your redeemer. And before you know it, you're walking in His glory. You're walking in that anointing. And you're walking in His favor. And that's what the Lord wants to do within our lives. He wants to be able to shape our lives. He doesn't want to look down and be sad and say, I can't shape that person. I can't mold that person. So I have to start over. Listen, my friend, God doesn't want to do that. But we read in the Bible that He's able to. He can. He will if He has to. But I'm here to let you know that do not allow the Lord to start over with your life. Continue in that process. Remain in that process. Become teachable. Stay open and continue just to follow what the Lord has within your life. It's an area that we seek here as we are that jar of clay. As I was reading this message, I began to think and just wonder, really, what is God looking within our lives? What does the Lord want to do? Because He took Jeremiah to a place and He said, it's only in this area that you will see what I want you to see. That's why it's important to come to church, to come to God's house, because it's only at God's house that you will see what He wants you within your life. It's only in certain places that you're able to be shaped and molded. It's only in certain areas that we're able to be dealt with and worked with. And this is where we need to be each and every day. I have a privilege. It's a blessing to live with the home each and every day. It's a blessing to live with the people. It's a blessing to continue and be in ministry each and every day, because I'm in a potter's place where the Lord is able to shape my life, where the Lord is able to guide my life, where the Lord is able to remove every area, where He's able to remove, to instill, to shape, to mold what He wants to do within my life. But He wants to do that within all our lives. And too many times we remove ourselves from this process. Listen, my friend, this clay, as far as I know, the clay doesn't have a choice. The clay cannot talk back to the potter. The clay cannot say, I don't want to be in that matter. I don't want that calling. I don't want to serve. I don't want to go to church. As far as I know, the clay is just there. It's a piece of rubber, dirt, whatever you want to call it. It's just made to be molded. Its only purpose is to be shaped by the potter. And here this night, I'm just here to let you know that our only purpose is to be shaped by the Lord. So whatever is going on within your life, allow it to shape your life. Allow it to mold your life. We're not supposed to talk back to our Maker. We're not supposed to question our Creator. We're not supposed to have those there. We can have a little something, but we're not even supposed to have doubt. We're supposed to have faith. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. The only thing that stopped the children of Israel from entering the promised land was doubt. It was unbelief. They stopped believing in the God that rescued them. They stopped believing in what He can do. So God could not work with them any longer. When Jesus even went back to His hometown, they did not believe who He was. They did not believe that He was able to do those miracles. They looked at Him and they said, this is only Jesus. He's only a carpenter. They did not want to believe that He was the Messiah. Listen, we can give you all the preachings we want. We can show you testimony after testimony. We could do so many things. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe what the Lord is able to do, and we'll become like that jar of clay that gets thrown out and started all over again. have a question that says, how many times has the Lord made another clay of you and I and forced to start over because of our decisions? And I understand, really, I've made a lot of mistakes. You get to know me, I'll let you know. I've made a lot of mistakes, big ones, little ones, thousands of them, hundreds of them. I continue to make mistakes. I'm not referring to mistakes. What I'm referring to is, are we able to remain teachable, to stay in that potter's wheel, to allow the Lord to shape you? Because it won't feel good when God has his hand upon you at times. We won't understand it. As a matter of fact, at times we will question, we will ask ourselves, what is going on? Is this even fair? But what is the Lord looking for within our lives? Why did the potter start over? Simply put, he did not find what he was looking for. The clay was not up to the potter's standards. But why not? Who is the potter and who is the clay? If God is the potter in our lives, are we living up to his standards? Not the world's standards, not your boss's standards, not even at times or parents' standards. I'm not saying be disobedient to your parents. Obey your parents, the Bible says, for you will be rewarded a blessing. It's the only one condition with a blessing. But if God is the potter in our lives, are we living up to God's standards? See, all of us as men and women of God, young youth of God, we're only measured really by God's standards. And so that's why at times a lot is asked of us, because God has high standards. And that's why it gets hard at times, and that's why as we're getting shaped and molded, and that's why as we're in that potter's wheel and the Lord is beginning to set his standards upon our lives, we should desire to remain all the more and just to know that it's the Lord himself that is shaping us. Listen, we're never going to really see God in the flesh anymore. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Say goodbye to that moment. The only time he's coming back is from the resurrection, not the resurrection, but from when he comes back, just to bring us up to heaven. At that time, there will be no excuses. At that time, we need to ask ourselves, not really, am I ready? Did I do everything I was called to do? Did I allow the Lord to shape my life? I don't want Jesus to come back and before you know it, it's all over. There's nothing else to do. Was it really not worth it to go and come to church? Was it really not worth it to sacrifice a meal or two? Was it really not worth it to spend a night in prayer? Was it really not worth it when we compare it to the standards of the Lord? Because once we get to heaven, once we get to eternity, within this area, the Lord took Jeremiah to this place for a reason. He didn't just say, go there, look at it, and it's over. He took him there because we find in verse 11, he says, therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says, I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. See, what was going on is the nation was in total decay, spiritual decay, financial decay. And the Lord warned them over and over. And the Lord told them through many prophets. And the Lord sent Jeremiah to say, if you don't fix your ways, there will be someone else that will completely take over your land. And they will wipe you out. You will become someone else's slaves. That's why we became slaves to the world. And that's why we become slaves to sin. Because we're simply not being obedient to the Lord. And the Lord had to warn that nation of Israel through Jeremiah. And he said this, it's not going to get any better. Don't believe the false testimony of what other people are saying. I don't know what's going to happen here in the times we live in. I just know there's been a pandemic for way too long. I just know the church has been asleep for way too long. But if you read the Bible, it doesn't get any better. The Bible says that the times will become more wicked. The times will become more evil. The Bible says that sin will be accepted. And I don't know about you, but you go out to the front of the street and it's normal just to say it's normal. What was illegal back then is legal now. It's a normality now. Matter of fact, if you're not doing what they're doing, they look at you weird. The Bible speaks of these areas and he's warning and saying it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. This message was not for those that were lost. This message was for the church, for the nation of Israel. The messages are for us first to apply and change so that others can change and apply their lives. Because if we're not changing our lives, if we're not applying the messages, if we're not walking these messages, how are we able? How are we to expect others to change? How are we able to expect others to believe what Jesus can do if we ourselves are not applying what we're told, if we ourselves are not believing the very words of God? That's why this matters. The Lord brought Jeremiah to the potter's house in the first place. Because of all that was going on, David Wilkinson once said, the church is looking too much like the world instead of the world looking like the church. And those are the times we live in. I mean, I don't like it when we have to use a worldly music background beat just to implement it into the church. Do we not have our own worshipers? Where are the anointed men of God, women of God, that receive from the Lord? We don't have to go out and steal from the world. They should be wanting what we have. But the question is, are we in that potter's wheel? Are we staying teachable? Are we allowing the Lord to continue that process within our lives? I mentioned earlier that potter, the clay has no choice. It was just there. It was told what it's going to become. I looked it up earlier. There was three types of clays that you could make with this type of clay. Ones for more use, ones that hold water, ones that hold different areas. What the Lord decides is the Lord's choice. So many times we want to decide and we want to choose what we want to do with our lives. I gave up my choice. As soon as I got saved, I gave up my choice. I was able to say, God, I know who you are. In order to follow you, I have to give you all my life. The scriptures that saved me were the hard scriptures. The ones that said whoever saves their life in this world will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Those were the scriptures that were able to grab a hold of my life that I realized I cannot hold on to my life any longer. And I know at times when I'm there and I'm struggling and I'm wanting to hold on to my life, I'm wanting to make my own decisions, and I tell the Lord, remove this from my life. I don't want to be in control. I don't want to be in charge. Never let me forget that you called me. Never let me forget that you've rescued me. That's who the Lord is. The scriptures that say, if you don't love your mother and father more than me, then you're not worthy of being called my disciple. Those are the scriptures that I had to let the Lord burn within my heart. Those are the scriptures that I had to allow God to inscribe within my heart for me to follow, because he knew who I was. And too many times I believe that we struggle with this area. But we have to know it's for a purpose. What do we want out of life? It's a question I always ask myself, and even here in Christianity, what do we really want as we serve the Lord? Just come to church and just go in and out. And I mean, as far as I know, we should want more and more and more. How many can say amen? The purpose of the clay was to be shaped by the potter, simply molded by the potter. That was the purpose. So if we want true purpose, if we want true joy, we need our lives to be shaped by the potter, by the giver of life. We need our lives to be molded by the ones that called us by name. You see, the more we allow our lives to be shaped and molded by God, we allow our lives to be shaped and molded by God the Father as we follow Jesus Christ, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we become those vessels that he can use. Are there any vessels God can use for his honor and glory? God needs to use pure vessels. He can't use dirty vessels. Not speaking about, go wash your hands. Jesus said, wash the inside of the cup. and then focus on washing the outside. Are there any vessels he can pour into? God is looking to pour his grace to accomplish his purpose. I mentioned a long time ago, grace is not needed, you know, when we're struggling, really falling. Grace is needed to keep us away from sin, not during sin. There's a difference. We need grace to keep us away from sin. Not to say, okay, you know, I'm in sin, I need grace. No, we need mercy then. But I believe that God wants to give grace, that we should be able to say, I've overcome these things. I've overcame temptations. Overcame by the power of his testimony. Vessels here this night that he could pour his mercy to walk in his calling. Pour some love that is needed to pray for our enemies. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Amen. I mean, that's a hard one. But all we're doing is following the instructions of the Lord. Pray for your enemies. Give them a drink of water. In doing so, you will be reaping coals upon their head, the Bible says. That's how we battle. We battle in the spirit. We just read the Bible and we do what the Bible says. That's all we do. We need vessels that the Lord is wanting to pour some joy and love and kindness and long-suffering and patience and endurance. Are there any vessels the Lord can shape and mold into? That's what the Lord is looking for. What type of clay was the potter looking for? Remember, not just one to shape and be molded, but shaped and molded for the times to come. And this is what makes everything so vital right now. This is what makes everything so vital. Because again, verse 11 says, therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. And I read this earlier and I mentioned that throughout these times, there was a coming disaster. There was a warning. It's almost like as if God warned us. He might have warned us to be ready for this pandemic. We don't know, because I don't know if we were paying attention or not. And we don't know if God's trying to warn us. But Jesus said that when he comes back, the birth pangs will start. And you can read for yourself in Matthew 25, where he speaks about rumors of wars, and with that's been going on, he speaks about disasters, and that's been going on, and speaks about famines, and all these things have already happened. What's interesting is he says, my word will go out to all nations, and then the end will come. And it's interesting now with social media and with technology, how much faster the word of the Lord is just going out to everyone all across the world, which tells us one thing, that the Lord is coming soon. And that is why you and I need to be ready as those clay, those earthen clay vessels. Because when Jesus came, he came with a purpose. And he had that same purpose to disciple men, women, youth of God, to disciple them, gather them together, and let them know to be ready for the time to come. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, I'm going to read it real quick. You can follow along. It says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Are there any men and women of God that are filled with the Holy Spirit's power? That have been spending some time with Jesus? That have been reading their Bibles? Let me just throw this out there. Haven't said it yet. It was in my notes that when I first got saved. All I wanted to do was serve the Lord. So guess what I did? I read my Bible as much as I can. When I first got saved, all I wanted to do was serve the Lord. So guess what I did? I prayed as much as I can. When I first got saved, all I wanted to do was serve the Lord. So guess what I did? I came to every service whenever I could. And and even now, guess what I still do now? I still want to serve the Lord, so I still read my Bible. I still want to serve the Lord, so I still get myself into prayer. I still want to serve the Lord. So I still have to be in church. Why? Because I want the Lord's power. I don't want my power. I know where my power got me. I need the Lord's power within my life. Are there any people that want God's power within their life? Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. What kind of reports are spreading about us lately? He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. You see, it's important to know the Word of God to be able to teach the Word of God. There's a scripture in Hebrews that says you should be teachers by now, but you still depend on milk. It means we have to train ourselves. Listen, I had to train myself. I had to study myself. No one brought me. No one sat down and said, this is how you put a Bible study together. I had to pray and go to the Lord. I had to pray and receive the Holy Spirit's guidance. I had to pray and be in the presence of God. I had to train and equip myself. That's why I had to take every VETI class. So the commercial out there, I finally graduated, finished all my VETI classes. Amen. Why? Because I wanted to be able to teach the Word of God. I wanted to be able to be well equipped, the Bible says. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the places where this was written. Now, catch this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Long story short, I needed to start a victory outreach to save a bunch of people like you and I. This is Jesus' mission statement. If you want to know what he was about, read this and study this. We fit into this category. We fit right into this picture. I mean, how many of us were blind? We weren't able to see right. And some of us are still spiritually blind. How many of us were poor in spirit? Though we might have had money and houses and vehicles, we're poor in spirit. That's why we needed the Lord. Some of us were oppressed. Oppressed by the world, the government, him or her, oppressed by so many things. That's why we needed to be set free. But my friend, no one can do that but Jesus himself. And as only Jesus himself was the one that was able to set people free, God told Jeremiah, warn these people. Tell my people. Don't worry about the world. I'm focusing on the church right now. That's why even Jesus said, I came first to the lost house of Israel. I came first to the lost house of Israel. Listen, we have to get it right first. And the Lord came and gave them a warning. And so Jesus started his ministry. And he said, this is what I came to do. There's a lot of people out there, my people, the nation of that are still lost. He had to focus on the church house first. And I believe the Lord is focusing on the church house also. Here this night, throughout this time, throughout this age, the Lord is focusing on the church house. And he needs to prepare us for the time to come. He wants to prepare us, for there will be a harvest. But we need to be prepared. And just as the Lord gave Jeremiah instructions, Jesus gave his disciples instructions. He operated in the same manner. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15, said, and then he told them, speaking to his disciples. I wish there were some disciples here this night. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. We see an instruction just as the Lord gave Jeremiah an instruction. Now Jesus is giving you and I an instruction. And we are to carry out that instruction. We are not to question that instruction. We are to follow that instruction. We are to follow that command. That command is simple, to go out and preach the gospel. That command is simple, to go out and live the gospel. That command is simple, to go out, remain in the church, build the body of Christ. That command is simple, and simply listen and do the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples. Once again, he told his disciples. Just as the Lord told Jeremiah to warn his people, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority, not some, all authority. Listen, you want power within your life? You want some Holy Ghost revival within your life? Amen. Guess who's the one that has it? And so are we getting with Jesus? It's that simple here this night. Too many of us lack authority in our own houses. Lack authority in the job house. Can I say this? I tell my boss what to do. No, I can't say that. Playing. It's playing. It's a joke. But we need spiritual authority. That only comes from the Lord. I've been giving all authority in heaven. I'm obedient. Amen. It's, forgive me. It's a joke over there. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, this is the instruction. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey. Notice that there's that word, to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. How many want the Lord to be within your life? You want Jesus to do new works within your life. You want the Lord to do a new thing within your life. I ask you, have you been making disciples lately? Have you surrounded yourself with the body of Christ lately? Because Jesus said, go and make this, everything's been, I have all that you need. I have all that you need, some grace, I can give you grace. You need mercy, you need love, you need forgiveness, you need kindness. Whatever you need is at your disposal. But it's given to you as you go out and make these disciples. Then I will be with you. So many times we want God to be with us, but we're not doing his work. The Lord told Jeremiah, go and warn these people. It's not going to be easy. And then he said, go and do what is right. What is right is to make disciples. What is right is to continue and follow the Lord. What is right is to be ready in the potter's wheel, being shaped and molded by God himself, being teachable, being available, being open, being that clay in the potter's wheel. What is right is knowing that God has his hand upon our lives. That's why it's important to continue and follow the Lord's will. I know there's no worship. Don't worry about the worship. I'm going to read the scripture, and that's how we're going to close out. I didn't give it to them. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I didn't give it to them in the back, but if they could find it. If not, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. I know they got it on the screens. They're pretty quick. We're going to just finish off. Right there in your houses, let's all stand. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. As you stand here this night, I'm going to read this verse, and we'll just close out in some prayer. It says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. I used to install carpets. I did that for years, I believe 10 years. And if you need some help moving, I'm an expert mover. I'm very good at Tetris. You know, my wife thinks she's better, but you know, I just let her win. Yeah. Let her win. She's got to win sometimes. So we had to move all kinds of furniture and things, and there was the china cabinet. I think we're all familiar with the china cabinet. And every time the first time I looked at it, I didn't know what it was, but it's always most of the time shaped the same glass, you know, little window doors. And inside, it was rare, either plates or memorabilia or passed down. We've seen some from generations and generations. We've seen some from World War II. We've seen some from, you know, and some that were worth money. Some that were worth, the plates begin at $10, $20, $100, $200 a plate. At times we broke those you know, but people kept them there, and it was for special use, and it was displayed. You didn't just use them whenever. It wasn't just the, you know, paper trays you just throw away. It was for special use. It says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. I believe we were all made of wood and clay at a point, and we weren't being used for anything special. Amen. I mean, if you want to humble yourself, if you think we had it good, and I don't know, this Bible study can't help you. I had a job and money and finances, and I knew my life wasn't good. I knew I was lacking something. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. I believe we're being everyday use. Go over here, go do this. Pastor Williams in our ministry is the one that says he was a doughboy. He would just get a doughboy, and that was at the end of his life. Whatever we did, we really have to ask ourselves, what do I want out of life? Do I want to be that clay? Just everybody touches, everybody uses, everybody gets their hands on. So I want to be a special clay for special occasions. If you keep yourself pure, remember the Lord told Jeremiah, go warn these people. They warn these people. It's coming disaster. So you have to stay in that potter's wheel. So be purified. I didn't want to get into, you know, too much detail, but when they finish the clay, they got to put it in some fire. So let it stand. And I believe too many times we're in the fire. We don't allow the process of the Lord. If you keep yourself pure, the fire refines and it purifies our lives. You will be a special utensil for honorable use. How many want to be a special utensil for honorable use? Your life will be clean, and this is the part we're going to finish off, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. See, I believe here this night that that's what the Lord wants. Not Pastor Felipe, not even Victory Outreach. I mean, Victory, we want that. But it comes from the Lord first. That he's simply trying to make us those vessels that he saw us from the beginning. He saw my life. Just as he saw the life of Jeremiah. And we don't have it. We have it so easy at times in the world we live in. I mean, we struggle with getting up early. We struggle with just, you know, days in, they talk to me bad, and, you know, there's people, and over here it's too hot, it's too cold. I'm going to work, come back. That's our struggle. Jeremiah's struggle was different. He was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. His life was threatened. And he was told, you come here again, we'll kill you. His family abandoned him. They left him. We don't want to hear from you. Who do you think you are telling us what to do? Get away from us. He said, this is too much, Lord. I'm doing what you've called me to do, and everyone hates me. By doing what you've called me to do, I'm getting beat up. By doing what you've called me to do. Yet, nevertheless, he was obedient. Because he knew who God was. He knew the end result. And hear this, now we have to know that end result. That God called us for a specific purpose. That when Jesus comes back on that glorious day, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be those vessels that he's been pouring into? Are we going to be those vessels? Don't have cracks, don't have leaks. Not just there, forgotten about. The Bible says the potter had to throw away and start over again. I want to be that clay, that shiny. I want to be those clays of gold and silver. I don't know what clay I'm going to be, but I want to remain pure. That happens as we continue and position ourselves. That's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to be ready, to be willing, to be available. And as we know this end result, God is using us for a purpose. Everything that's going on within your life, every little trial, every tribulation, it's for a purpose. It's that God is trying to make within you, refine you, purify you, to make you that vessel that he can use, the master can use. I mean, do we not want to be used by the master? Amen. All over this place and right there where you're at, just close your eyes and bow your heads. We're going to finish this night just by going before the Lord in prayer. But before we do that, and we're going to finish off in prayer, I want you to evaluate your life. Ask yourself, where am I in this process? Am I the clay? Am I allowing myself to be shaped, to be molded? Some of us, we may be the potter. God is using us to shape other people's lives. And God is looking at us and asking us, how are you shaping those lives? Are you shaping them how I want to shape them? And he's asking us, what is too hard? What is it really? Why can't we come to church? Why can't you let someone else know the good news? I want us to examine ourselves, but to know most of all that as the process is not easy, it was never meant to be. Jesus said, I have been anointed to proclaim the good news, and you and I can receive that anointing. The Bible says, not just to set the captives free, but the Bible records there's only one thing that breaks the yokes of bondage, and that's the anointing. And listen, my friend, hear this now. We can't receive the anointing if we're out of place, if we're out of position, if we're not allowing the Lord to work within our lives. One thing that I desire is just really the anointing of God to do his work so that God can do the rest of the work. Right there where you're at, Father, right now we come before you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We give you all glory and honor. And I just pray for this message. And Lord, my prayer is as you look into our lives, allow us to be those vessels. Allow us to be that clay that is shapeable, moldable, teachable, Lord God. Allow us, as that saying goes, to stick, to stay, pray, and obey. To just trust in who you are. Trust in the process. And I pray for anyone who may be struggling with fear, doubt, overcoming the enemy, struggles, issues, even health, whatever it may be. I pray here this night, Lord, and I want them to know as they trust in you, Lord, as they place their faith, their focus upon you, Lord, that you are able to deliver. You are able to strengthen, my God, in your timing, not our timing, your timing. The Bible says to produce a perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work to produce endurance. Lord, I ask for that endurance within all our lives, within your body of Christ. And Lord, right now we pray that you continue to strengthen us, my God. Bless here this night those that are watching. Lord, fill their minds, their hearts. Continue to go before us, my God. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.